Numbers 21, verses 21 through 35, these are God's words. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory." But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to the Jabbok, as far as the border of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites in Heshbon and in all its villages. For Heshbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land from his hand as far as the Arnon. Therefore, those who speak in Proverbs say, "Come to Heshbon, let it be built, let the city of Sihon be repaired." For fire went out from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Ar of Moab, the lords of the heights of the Arnon. Woe to you, Moab! You have perished, O people of Chemosh. He has given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. Then we laid waste as far as Nopha, which reaches to Medeba. Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took its villages and drove out the Amorites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way to Bashan. So Og, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand, with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon." So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of his land. Amen. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Here we see that God is faithful to his promises. For the first time since God promised Abram the land, back in Genesis 12 even, for the first time they have possession of cities. The children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, the children of Israel are now possessing and dwelling in cities. God keeps his promises. The 40 years of wandering are over. The penalty has been paid. And now that the penalty has been paid, God is turning Israel from their sin. This reminds us of the interaction with Edom just a few passages ago, even down to the sending to Sihon and saying, let us pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards or drink from your wells, etc. We will use the king's highway. It's almost identical to what they said to Edom before. As we see also from Deuteronomy chapter 3, this is not done resistance against or tension with what the Lord has promised them. This is done in interaction with the Lord. We'll see when we get to Deuteronomy 3 that they are praying and the Lord is talking to them and so forth. And so one of the big differences here is that they are able to take this land. And that's a pretty big deal, because not only does the Lord express faithfulness in giving them to walk with him and in keeping his promises to start to give them to dwell, to possess. We see that language in three different places. Israel dwelt in all the cities, verse 25. Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites, verse 31. Israel took possession of his land, verse 35. Not only does the Lord display his faithfulness, he displays his power. There was this series of victories here. Those who spoke in parables or poetry, New King James translates verse 27 using the word proverbs, but the poet historians really sang of Moab as the people of Chemosh being soundly defeated by Sihon, who was headquartered in Heshbon. And so you have that Amorite poetry, that Amorite history in verses 28 to 29. And Israel now has adopted a couple of stanzas from the Amorite historical poem and then added their own, because the Heshbonites, under Sihon, who had soundly defeated Moab, the Moabites, the people of Chemosh, have now been soundly defeated themselves. But we have shot at them. Heshbon has perished as far as Dibon. And it is, of course, the Lord who has done this. We'll see that more, because more details are given about the defeat of Sihon when we get to Deuteronomy chapter 3, so we'll see that more there. But you can even see it here, because verse 34 picks that up. When he is faced with Og, and Yahweh said to Moses, "Do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon." And so one of the points here is not just that the Lord is faithful, but that the Lord is powerful. What is there that he brings you to as Yahweh, the creator of heaven and earth, the sovereign Lord over all things? What is there that he brings you to that he cannot bring you through? Of course, the answer is nothing. And so he has power to defeat Sihon, who had previously crushed the Moabites. He has power to defeat Og, who is famous in our household as the tallest man that any of us know of from the Bible, because his bed was 9 cubits. In order to fit him, it had to be 13 and a half feet long. And Deuteronomy 3, when it gives more details, is going to identify him as the last of the giants. And so the Lord is not just faithful, but powerful. The greatest, most intimidating men who whose ability and power reach an almost mythical stature to other people. They are nothing. They are nothing before the Lord who has taken us as his own dear people. The Lord who has reversed our enmity against him by destroying the enmity in Christ, and who takes up our cause as his because he has joined us to himself. The Lord who rules over us and has not just subdued us to himself, but who defeats all of his and our enemies. We need to remember that today. There are not 13 and a half foot tall men, but there are situations and there are people that in our hearts and minds loom large, undefeatable, almost mythical in their power. And that's just rubbish before the truth of reality. The truth of reality is that they are nothing before the Lord. So the Lord is faithful. The Lord is powerful. He's also merciful. You know, they were going to end up in battle anyway. They had turned and gone up, by the way, to Bashan, and Og had brought all his people out. They could have just, the Lord could have just won the battle for them without talking to Moses. He could have just kind of providentially granted that in the battle things went Israel's way, gave them, sustained them with courage and ability. They knew not from where it came, but the Lord wanted them to know from where it came. And the Lord wanted them to have that courage as peace and strength of heart that came from having the Lord, having his word, hearing his word, responding to his word. And so there's this wonderful mercy when Yahweh speaks to Moses. He doesn't just give Moses information, "I have delivered him and you will do to him as you did to Sihon," etc. He gives him first a command. Yahweh said to Moses, "Do not fear him." The Lord cares about the strength of heart, the peace and joy of heart of his people. And so he comes to us and he says, "Do not fear." comes to us and he teaches us to be encouraged, to remember who he is and whom he has made us to be unto himself as his own people, what he has planned to do, that the reason that there is a today is that it is one of the days that is written in his book for each of our lives, and it is one of the days that is written in his book for his plan about bringing many sons to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why there is even a today. Whatever is in today, whatever we have to do today, whatever we have to face today, he comes and he doesn't just give us information. He's working all things together for our good. He also gives us commands. Fear not. Be strong. Be courageous. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord in his mercy cares about the cheerfulness of our hearts to give us to live with peace and joy. So, two big kings, one who had won big battles and one who is just a really big king, go down. But the main point in the passage for us is that our Lord is faithful and that our Lord is powerful and that our Lord is merciful and he is ours. These things came upon them, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So praise God that we get to live another day in covenant with, belonging to our faithful and powerful and merciful Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us by your Spirit, grant that we would internalize and meditate upon and benefit from and live according to the truths of this passage, and grant that we would serve you well in this day. Help us, Lord, until we come again as a household to worship you the next time, to live as a household as those who belong to you. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.